Hello, everybody, and welcome to Page Radio. You are joining us for an online platform that hopes to lighten the world by bringing you people who are doing perhaps the bit of spirit, perhaps the bit of their soul, and allowing themselves to take personal action that is in service to global evolution. My name is Marielle Smith, Running Bear Woman, and I am the founder and producer here on Page Radio. I'm really pleased to welcome two amazing women that I've known for a little while now. They have written an amazing book. I want to just share a quote that came really from the inspiration of Jen, and it's by Brené Brown. And it's very short, but it is so poignant to what we're going to be talking about today. Loving ourselves through the process of owning our story is the greatest thing you'll ever do. Brené Brown. I am always in awe of people who put themselves out into the world, and we are going to be talking about a book today that has certainly created an air of vulnerability within its pages and also power. It brought me to tears a number of times as I was reading it. So two women who have dared greatly, in the words again of Brené Brown, they've brought out a story. They have created a book, Power Stories, honoring the feminine principle of life. Jen and Carell are the editors and contributors as well of this incredible gift that they've created together. Jennifer Ingrassio is a teacher, author. She is a shamanic practitioner, a Reiki master, and a Lomi Lomi practitioner who lives in Calgary, Alberta, in Canada. She has a passion for working with children, including mine in the past, and families in the context of ceremony. And she has published a book and co-authored a book with other people called The Magic Circle, Shamanic Ceremonies for the Child and the Child Within. Carell is a Reiki master teacher, and she is also practicing in Calgary, Alberta. She has served on the board of the Canadian Reiki Association for 8 years and has a deep reverence for the earth. She enjoys the camaraderie of like-minded individuals who are also on the healing journey. And she has a passion for teaching Reiki and shamanism, both together and separately. Welcome, Jen and Carell, to Page Radio.
Hi, Mario.
Hi. So excited to have you both on the show. This book is definitely, a work of the soul, a work of art. It just has so much. It has so much in it. It's hard to explain until you've actually read the whole thing. So I wanted to just start with a quote that you started with in the book and then ask you some questions along the way. So to start off in the book, the note from the editor: while we cannot really control the external circumstances of our lives, we can always change the way we tell stories about our lives and ourselves. Far from being a semantic trip, these changes have a profound impact on our psyches. Our beliefs and what we tell ourselves shape the reality we live in. Our outer world reflects the inner world that we create. To change the inner landscape is to change the outer. These words didn't really hit me until the end of the book. I didn't really get the meaning or the depth of that introduction until I got to the end. I would love to hear, maybe start, Jen, I'll start with you. What was it that had you create this book? What was the journey that took you on this great wild ride of putting a book out into the world?
Well, I would say there's some different things. First of all, like we said in the book, the journey was kind of kicked off by a journey, actually, that we did in 2011 to Hawaii, a women's medicine journey, where Carell and I were both working with the goddess Pele when we were there. And she gave us each tasks that we were to do in order to honor her. And my task had to do with bringing the goddesses back through the arts. And Carell got a similar message. And so when we came back home, we started talking about this. And Carell said, hey, what do you think about writing a book of stories? And, you know, of course, we have sisterhood here. And so we were used to gathering regularly to tell stories. And I personally am always so, I'm so blown away and impacted by the things that women go through every day, just in the course of everyday living, and how they move through those things. And not all those things are pleasant. Some of those things are really challenging. And those stories don't get a lot of airtime. You know, other things get a lot of airtime. And so the power and the vulnerability of those stories, we thought was important to put in the book and to start recognizing those stories for the powerful stories that they are of everyday women. You know, they're not celebrities. They're not women with a ton of money or even physical resources. They're everyday women that are doing the same things that we all do every day.
And Carell, how was that journey for you along with Jen?
Well, it certainly surprised me when I got back about wanting to create this book. I really didn't know how to go about it, so that's why I came to Jen and said, you know, what do you think about doing this book? I had a really strong intuition that these stories needed to come out somehow. And I didn't really know at the time how much impact it was going to have. We started to learn that as we gathered at Sisterhood each month. And through the course of doing that, it started to become very apparent that these stories, or not so much the stories, I guess, but when women gather together and they go, yeah, I have something similar to share, or I had a similar experience, it really created a great group of people together to share these stories. And certainly with Pele, over time, we started to learn more about the impact it was going to have.
So tell me a little bit about Pele. So, because if that was the impetus, a lot of people don't know about that goddess, what her...
Well, maybe Jen can explain Pele better than me, since she does the Hawaii stuff.
Okay.
Well, I think, I guess I was introduced to her really that first time that we were in Hawaii in 2011, and that's before I started practicing Hawaiian medicine, before I started really studying it seriously. She's the Hawaiian volcano goddess. She's really revered in Hawaii. There are many people alive in Hawaii today that can trace their lineage directly back to her, because in the Hawaiian oral histories, they can trace Pele back to a living woman that lived in the 9th century.
Amazing.
Yeah. And the story goes that she was so fiery and so fierce in real life, which was, you know, not what people usually equate with femininity, that when she died, her family thought the only honoring burial for her is to throw her bones into the volcano.
Wow.
And so this is what they did. And that's how, in that story, she became the Hawaiian volcano goddess. But she's also, I had problems with her at the beginning. I just have to say, because I was trained to think of femininity by my culture as a specific thing that it wasn't.
Mm.
And then Pele came along and she kicked over all those boxes, all those little boxes of the nice girl, polite, does what she's told, submissive, caring for others. She cares for others, but in a very ruthless way. She follows her own rules. And this book is full of women who followed their own rules.
Mm.
Most of those stories, you know, women had to break rules in those stories in order to heal and in order to find out what the learning in that life experience was for them. And not all those experiences are ones that I would say are easy to learn from. So we have stories of rape. We have stories of abortion. We have stories of divorce and separation, all sorts of things that are sometimes hard to find the light out of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I just want to say too that I really thought this book was just going to be something that sat on a coffee table, but as time went on, we discovered this is more than a coffee table book. This is a teaching book. This is a book that touches the soul. This is a book for men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, it was such a great foreword to read by Greg Leach. It was interesting because he immediately said, I'm doing this foreword and I'm a man. And the question that he asks near the beginning really hit me. Why do we feel so uncertain of ourselves that we are forever having to get validation from males? So what had you ask Greg to write the foreword? I obviously we have the feminine principle and we haven't heard about the masculine principle quite yet, but what had you ask him to write the foreword?
Can you speak about that, Jen?
Or do you want to, Carol?
Well, I guess from a perspective of giving a man's, reading the book and giving a foreword about what the book was about, I think really put it to a place where people could see that men also have a feminine principle within inside themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about a woman's story. Men can have similar stories.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the important thing is that these stories are coming from a place of empowerment, not from a victim standpoint. That's what power stories are.
Mm-hmm.
They should help us grow, evolve, and bring us out to the other side, that we can pull the gift that was given or the giveaway that was given in relationship to that story.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really excited when Jen asked Greg to write it. He did a fabulous job of writing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I also want to say that we didn't want to polarize the sexes anymore. And to include a man in the book. And another thing to know about Greg is he was the first person to read the book after it was done. He was the first person to give feedback. And he's done a lot of medicine work alongside of us. So when we're healing, we're not healing in a community in a segregated way. Men and women are coming together to do healing work. So we also thought that was important to put forward. Obviously in sisterhood, it's all women, just like in brotherhood, it's all men, because women and men have different experiences in life. But the fact that we also wanted to create a safe space for men to know that that they're included in this, that it's not, in order for women to have power stories, men have to be sidelined. It's not, that's not the message of the book. We hope, and from what we've seen so far, it's impacted men deeply because, of course, their feminine side is often suppressed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Greg said when he was reading the book, he kept have to keep putting him down. He couldn't actually read it one story after another. And what we've heard is either people have blazed through the book because they just could not put it down, or then some people said it was so emotionally charged that we had to put it down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's another lady said the book was like a ceremony, one long ceremony.
I would agree. Mm. I would agree wholeheartedly. it had deep impact for sure. I found that reading Greg's foreword and then reading the book, it brought such a nice balance. It brought a really good balance. I like the way that you said that it didn't polarize the feminine and the masculine anymore. So you talked about how it's impacted people's lives. What are some of the surprises or maybe some of the stories that came while you were creating this book from either the contributors or yourselves that you'd like to share?
Think of any, Carol?
Surprises or learnings or things that you went, oh wow, that either really made sense or it's coming together or it's not coming together. When you create a book, especially in collaboration, I think a lot of us do things by ourselves, and so for me to have to know that you collaborated on this with not just the two of you but with a circle of women as well, maybe I'm looking for what can our listeners learn from working together, and what was the beauty of it or what was the challenge of it that we can walk away from?
Yeah, well, certainly what was a big factor in helping moving the book forward was gathering together at Sisterhood once a month. And each time that we did that, we had a goddess that we related to. And so to a wonderful surprise, each goddess that came up each month, even prior to us meeting, we found that that goddess was already working with us. So when we gathered to do the stories, people were saying those stories. It was like, yeah, this kind of stuff was happening this week, but this my power story that goes with it is this. Right. And it's been teaching me you know, for the last week or two, because we'd say, okay, we're gathering again. The goddess is this. And we'll be gathering in a week. So people always had something to say about that.
So when each of the goddesses was brought forward, the women experienced something to do with that goddess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So whatever life was handing them at the moment, it would trigger something, and then they would go into the story that was right there. Like it was right there.
Right.
They were able to speak it. It was in their heart. It was in their womb space. They intuitively just went with it. And we found that because everybody was sharing in a group, they didn't feel like they were isolated and by themselves, which was nice. So, and then collaborating with Jen, I mean, for both of us, you know, this was a 3-year journey of having to collaborate, and tenacity and sticking with it. But Pele was there supporting us. I think that was a huge thing, right? And then just working as we went along, we discovered different things that wanted to go into the book, and we just let Pele and Spirit guide that. I didn't find at any time that it was, oh my God, what are we going to do with this? No, it wasn't like that at all. It actually, I think it had its own timing. It had its own entity in its own life of what it wanted to birth into. So I was elated and surprised by the end. Oh, look what's look been what created.
Look what we have.
Yeah, look what we have. Look what's been birthed. Oh, my goodness. Because it wasn't like a plan.
Yeah.
It wasn't a plan. It was just like, let's do this book.
I love that. Talk about inspiration. Holy cow. Because I know that there are so many people out there who say, yeah, I have a book inside of me, or I want to do this project, or I want to do that thing, myself included. And to hear that from you, that you trusted spirit the whole way, you had intention. I mean, that to me speaks volumes in how this was created, whatever the timing was, and that you trusted it the whole way. I love it. I can't remember where it is in your book, but you list the book's intents that you, I guess, held in front of you the whole way. And one of them was to create a beautiful, authentic, soulful book. I mean, simple, and yet you read something like that, or I read them all and I thought, wow, these are things that would definitely keep moving me forward. It would keep me being pulled towards something. How did those intents come? Were you in communion with Pele and yourselves? Is it a spiritual process? I mean, a lot of our listeners know a little bit about your backgrounds just based on the bios, but the shamanism that you have in your background, how much has that played into creating this book?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. So in shamanism, intent is everything. So if you don't know why you're doing something, then you shouldn't be doing it, because it's a waste of energy. Mm-hmm. It'll draw energy from you. So Karel and I knew that we wanted to create this book, that it was important to create this book, and then we had to come up with an intent. Why are we doing it? What do we want the outcome to be? And we really wanted the book to touch people the way that we're touched every time we go to Sisterhood and we hear women telling their stories. So I get kind of emotional about it, because we don't really share these sorts of things usually. Not as women, not as men. We don't share stories from that standpoint. So a lot of us, I think, wander around life feeling like we're alone, or we're the only ones going through these challenging experiences. But in reality, all of us are going through challenging experiences. Mm-hmm. And the flavor of those challenging experiences may change from moment to moment in our lives, or may depend on our cultural background, or where we live, or just even the era that we're living in. But there's not one of us that's ever walked the earth that hasn't had challenges. The problem is we've forgotten how to tell stories that show us how to find power in those things that happen to us, to find the victories in the things that happen to us. And so one of the things we discovered, actually, just in the process of being curious, because that's the other thing, we were curious. Karel and I kind of watched patterns unfold in the 3 years, and we wondered about them. You know, we talked about them. We would get together for coffee and we'd be like, have you noticed this? Or what do you think about this? You know, why do you think this is happening? So one of the things that we noticed early on is that women didn't know how to tell power stories. Now, some of the women did. Some of the women that had a lot of shamanic medicine experience and had done a lot of ceremony and a lot of personal healing already. But then there were other women that were new to the group who were just starting on their healing journey. And they would be able to identify the story that went with the goddess, but we found that they would stay stuck in the trauma instead of being able to pull the light out of the trauma to find the victory. And so we realized early on that we had to create a way for women to start learning how to turn how to bring that thread of light out of the darkness of some of their stories. Because not all the stories came from a place of light. Some of the stories came from a place of darkness that women have to survive. So that was really interesting to walk alongside those women and to mentor them in a way. Mm-hmm. We didn't expect to have to do that. And it was humbling.
As a shamanic practitioner, I mean, it was healing for them, but it was healing for me too. Like Jen said, it was very humbling. You know, all the years that I've done shamanism and done ceremony, this was probably the longest ceremony I've ever done.
3 years worth.
But I must say, coming out at the other end of it has changed my life. You know, like it's powerful. It's helped me grab everything in my life to make it more powerful. So ever since, Jen, since August, I guess, I've noticed this difference.
Since August being the launch.
Yeah, since the launch of the book. And it's just like pulling, you know, you recall a story and you just pull that and go, yeah, I'm doing that. Like that. There isn't any question that this is happening today. Right? So before, you kind of wallow in some of the things that you've experienced in your life. And now it's like, no, it's not like that. You can grab the piece of light and use that as a changing force to move ahead with more brilliance, more joy, more pleasure, all of those things.
That's actually a really amazing piece of insight, because I think as women, when we walk with another woman or even walk with another man through their path on life, and we, as you say, mentor them or coach them, or just we're just friends with them, we don't realize how much we're getting by being in service or helping them or loving them through what they're going through. And everyone says it's a gift to be helping other people, but for you to, for 3 years, you were like pretty engaged in helping women. I remember, Jen, you and I sitting at lunch, and I'm just like, I have no idea how to tell this story. I like, what are you talking? Like, really? And just having that fear inside of me come up. But your mentorship, your groundedness, and so I can imagine the number of women that you spoke to over the 3 years with the artwork, with everything. Just how amazing that experience. I mean, there's no words really.
No.
For that.
No. And I love that you quoted Brené Brown at the beginning, Marielle, because the thread that goes through the whole book is vulnerability.
Yeah.
You know, we had some women tell their stories at Sisterhood, and they were like, there is no way I could put this in a book. Other women said, I'll put this in the book, but I have to use a pen name. I can't use my real name. And, you know, now that the book has come out, and a lot of people have started reading it, including the people that contributed, because you guys hadn't read each other's stories or heard each other's stories. So I've had people say, I wish I'd had the courage to use my real name in that story, because I see that other women wrote stories that were just as vulnerable as mine, but they had the courage to put their name down. And to that I said to them, well, you know, I think the important part is that the story is out there, because it's actually the story itself that holds the power. And, you know, I don't judge, and, you know, neither Carell and I judged whether people wanted to use their real names or not.
Yeah.
Because each person had to live with that book being out there forever. You know, you want that story out there with your name on it forever. And that's kind of how we talked about it and prepared women before the book came out. that was a care that we had about. Mm-hmm. And it does take a tremendous amount of vulnerability. And I totally understand that some women just were not ready to go there. But even just to come to Sisterhood, a group of 20 women in a safe space to tell your story, that takes tremendous courage. And so I think the courage and the vulnerability pieces to me are the heart of what the power is in every single one of those stories. And that's what we were looking for when we asked for the stories.
Yeah, because there's some women I know that have had challenges in their life and didn't see that they had a power story to tell. But they really did. They really did. They didn't think it was worthy, or maybe they weren't ready, or whatever the story was. But I think they're still on a journey of discovering some things for themselves, right? And so they didn't submit any stories, but that's okay, because eventually they're going to share their story. Mm-hmm. Eventually they're going to come and be one with everyone else, right? Yeah. And to know that they're not alone on their journey. And that's okay. That's okay. They're still learning from those stories.
And I think the other thing too, to add to that, Carell, is that another thing I learned personally is that a woman doesn't have to have healed every single piece that came out of that story in order to pull the light out. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, some things take longer than others to heal. It's kind of like lots of layers of an onion. And so if you've experienced a huge amount of trauma in your life, you can't expect that all of that trauma is going to be resolved. But there's always pieces of your story that you can tell, that you've come to terms with inside of yourself, where you can tell the power. You know, so for someone, for instance, that has been raped, the power might be, I survived and I kept going, even though I'm not fully healed yet. Mm. But I will be fully healed. Mm-hmm. You know, another lady, this story didn't make it in the book, but her story, without going into too many details, was about how she intercepted a rape from happening. Mm. And she was so caught up in the betrayal of having to be the only one of her friends willing to go and intercept the rape that she knew was happening. Mm. And the aloneness of that she couldn't find the power of it. But when I heard the story, I heard you had the courage to go into that room and stop what was happening, even if no one else supported you. Mm-hmm. So those were things, interesting things that I found women bumping up against when they told their story.
So it's almost like helping women change their perspective on the experiences that we have in our lives, because sometimes we get so, especially if we don't let it out, if we don't tell the story, if we don't write it out in a journaling exercise or just get it out of the roundness of our heads, we tend to have it remain and just sit there inside of ourselves, and it comes out in other ways, physically or emotionally or mentally and even spiritually. Mm-hmm. And it's what I'm hearing a lot of during this, and having read the book, there's so much care, and that brings me that brings an emotion for me. There's been so much care brought by the two of you and everybody who contributed to this book, but the two of you holding this container for these women to go through a journey that we don't very often get to together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to add to that and say that another thing was, the other piece was learning how to come together as women and be together in balanced ways. Mm. Oftentimes when women get together, they're gossiping about each other or criticizing each other or, mm-hmm. you know, judging someone that's not there. And that's really toxic. And we wanted to show women that there is another way to come together that is healthy, that's respectful. We didn't judge women based on the stories that they told, because every one of us has had something in our lives maybe we're not proud of, maybe we're ashamed of some of the choices that we made. And it's not my place to judge another woman for choices or for things that has happened in her life, because I don't know the experiences that led to that moment. I don't know what state she was in. I don't know how she was raised. So because I don't know the totality of her experiences, what I listen to her heart. I listen to her spirit when she was talking. I listen to how did somebody with that amount of challenge get to that moment. That's I think where the power comes, where we can really support each other as women. So for me personally, I wanted it also to be a book showing this is how women can be together in a healthy way, in a non-competitive way, without feeding into all of the cultural pieces that pit women against each other. That has to stop. Actually, in order for women to take back their power and to come into healthy balance inside of themselves and between themselves.
Ho.
I got nothing after that. Oh, man. Okay, so a few things keep coming around in my mind. You talked about some of the women who... No, I'm not going to go there yet. As you were going through mentoring the women, planting the seeds that there's this book, how can our listeners learn what is a power story and how to pull that light from a story that may not be powerful yet, or that has the power but they haven't pulled that light out? What are some elements of creating power stories that you think are important to share?
Well, one thing that comes to mind immediately is love and compassion for yourself. I just remember being in the circle with women who weren't quite sure if they were going to share a story, right? Or maybe thought they'd go last because they didn't have a story. And then by the time they heard everybody, they realized, oh my God, I have a story I want to share, because everybody was holding space for everyone else to share their story. And that was the amazing thing that I saw that came out of that, was just holding space for people to share that story and get it out. I don't think there was ever a time when we cried, we laughed. it was really beautiful. Yeah. And you got anything you want to add to that, Jen?
Well, we did share, for people that... that get the ebook. At the back, there is the criteria we used, a loose criteria, but one that came from Pele, which basically we followed the elements of the medicine wheel and in every direction. So for mind, heart, body, spirit, the center, the life force energy, we have questions that people can ask themselves. So say you want to tell a story or you want to write a story, you can use those questions to gauge whether that story is accomplishing its intent of being a power story. So in a power storytelling, the ego isn't present. Your sole purpose for telling the story is to empower another person. So if you're telling the story so people because in your mind you think, I want people to know how great I am, or how, you know, how so radical I am that I did this thing, then your story is not going to be powerful. It's not going to hit people in the same way, because there is an element of arrogance already in your story. But if you're telling a story because you know that you made it through that thing, and that there are people out there that may not know that they can make it through that thing in a whole way, like W-H-O-L-E, then that's a reason to tell a story. The other thing that we encourage is for women to work together. You know, if you're not sure whether your story is powerful, have another woman that you trust who you know is not going to judge you, or a man, if you're a man writing a power story. Have that person read your book, your story, or tell you that person your story, and see how it lands. You'll know if it's powerful by the look on someone's face, by how their energy has changed. We always, it's funny, at Corral, you might have different markers, but at Sisterhood, I always knew when a story was powerful when no one spoke afterwards. There was just like this pregnant silence in the space before another woman went and grabbed the talking stick to tell her story.
Yeah, I would say that, yeah, it would hit a note inside. Yeah, people really didn't have a response. Yeah.
Was something was happening on the inside of them that just needed to sit there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what happened to me in a couple of the stories. I just had to sit there and couldn't just put it down. Just put it down and be with whatever was bubbling up to the surface. Yeah.
Are there some stories that had impact for you that you want to talk a little bit about, Marielle? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The stories that had the most impact were... were the ones that shared what was happening deep inside as they were going through the experience. For me, listening to a woman in person, I can kinesthetically, I sense their energy. So reading a story, I can sense their energy, and yet it comes from some of the words. And so the words that the women were just, when they were describing the emotion that was happening for them during those situations, where they had to dig to find themselves in situations that they, you're just like, why is this happening to me? Those stories, right? Where nothing is making sense, and that yet they trusted to go forward anyways. I don't have a story, but I can feel the feeling that happened when I read the story, and it comes down again, Jen, to the courage that you talk about, that the women found somewhere in that little womb space, or maybe it was in their knee, I don't know, but a little piece of courage to do it anyways, to do what needed to be done. A little verklempt right now. I can't speak.
Yeah. That's how I was the whole time I was reading the stories for the first time as they were rolling in.
I really,
two things. Number one, would love to see a volume 2. Because I'm sure there's a few women out there going, I want this to happen again. And the second piece is that this book, again, I mean, even now I'm realizing just how much it has impacted me in reading all of these stories. And the, I mean, it is empowerment. We use, you know, we use certain words a lot, but there is a sense of women finding their power in every single story. And there may not be a, there may not be a conscious understanding of how that's coming about, but there's something in my heart when I read those stories that truly knows, my heart knows that there is so much power in those stories. There's so much energy of power in those stories. And the whole book in itself, like from seriously, from start to finish, there is care, there is compassion. There, it is really a, you can see and sense that I'm still being taken care of as I go through the book, all the way to Appendix One, where it's now, okay, here, your turn. Write your own story, or use, you know, use this to just play with it. You don't even, you don't have to share it with anybody. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would encourage too, in the process of this, of writing and painting and contributing, is that you, every person, man or woman, every child can just be inspired to find that little piece of courage in their foot, in their elbow, wherever it is, and play with that energy, because it has definitely changed me. I'm sure after 3 years, it's changed the two of you. Yeah, Jen, it's so hard to answer that question because every single story hit me somewhere, and it opened me, really. All of the stories opened me, and in also learning about the fact that women are so resilient, mm-hmm. and we just don't know it. Mm-hmm. We don't know what we can go through. Oh my God, reading some of those stories, it's like, and then imagining, could I go through this? And thinking at the end, yeah, she went through it, right? So almost having my hand held through my life by reading these stories of the women.
And I should say too that some of the women that contributed, I've known for many, many, many years. And I didn't know those stories about them.
Mm.
And it made me wonder, if I look at all of the people that I know, what I don't know about them. I think what I know about them is a really little sliver, because we don't share those things with each other very often.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy when you don't go to those vulnerable places with each other very often to, it's easier to judge someone.
Mm.
Or it's easier to think, oh, well, that person's really screwed up, you know, and not even look at those places where that person has had to have a lot of courage. You know, one of the things I could think of is, you know, people with multiple addictions.
Mm.
How do they end up with multiple addictions? And then even when they just, they're able to heal one addiction, that's a huge victory. When you think about the mountain that that person has to climb to heal all their addictions, to heal one addiction is a huge victory, even though you don't have, you haven't gotten to the point of healing all of them. So I think it's important too to just keep thinking about that what you see on the outside of someone is like the tip of the iceberg. There's all this other, all these other deep layers. Most of the iceberg is underwater. So in power stories, you get to see the underwater part of the iceberg of someone.
Mm.
So you can never look at that person in the same way. You know, after one story that really stands out for me, which I was crying all the way through, was Janice Young's story about giving her son up for adoption when she was 16. And I cried all the way through that story because she spoke that story to me and I transcribed it later. And I just kept thinking, how on earth did you do that? Mm-hmm. Not in the how could you do that? That was not the question. It was like, I could see that was just, I could see how divisive that was for her inside.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a part of her that just knew that was the right thing to do. That if she didn't do that, that kid wouldn't have had a good quality of life. And so, yeah, I'm never going to see her the same way. And I've known her for years.
Mm.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing when we learn to look deeper with each other than just the behaviors maybe we see on the surface that we go, oh, God, that's annoying. Or, you know, oh, my God, look at the dress she's wearing. Or whatever we do in our ego minds, it forces us to look at the person's spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that, Jen. The iceberg. Yes. Like, iceberg, most of it's underwater. So those are the parts you don't get to know or see.
No, it's so true. Oh, so coming full circle, your book is, your book was launched, the ebook. It's an ebook at this time, right?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
People can find it at womenspowerstories.ca, correct?
Yes.
I kind of wanted to, we touched a little bit on the elements where people can find those in the book, appendix 1, page 108, just so you know. they can use it in many different ways. I don't know why this keeps coming to me, but there's a question around how men have received this book. I know you talked about it briefly, but there's something in me that wants to ask about the masculine principle of life. And we know now that the feminine is really building its energy at this time. There's so much around it, and it's almost like the masculine isn't falling away, but coming into balance somehow. So I don't even know what question I have, but it just keeps coming about something about the masculine principle of life and what we may not know that would be good to know based on what you've been working with the feminine.
What do you think, Carol?
Well, certainly I know men have stories that they haven't told,
mm-hmm.
you know, men as well don't get a lot of the opportunity to get together and share those things with one another. My hope is that this book will encourage men to start to share their story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what it feels like to me is, what I see in the world is, you know, the masculine energy that likes to maybe push or force things more so. Some of the men that I know personally are starting to view it a little differently, that they can actually do it powerfully, but softer,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, with the way we're formed and molded in society, we don't actually get an opportunity to know that we can do that,
mm-hmm.
especially, you know, like, especially with this change. And so my hope is that the book can actually encourage men to share their story,
mm-hmm.
and make things more powerful from a sense of power, not forcing things on people. So when I look at the world too, it's like war and different things that occur. My sense is it doesn't have to be that way. I think that men can express themselves in a way that's powerful, supportive. And what I'd like to see is that men actually get heard, because some men don't get heard about what their story is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I would like to see.
Yeah, and I would also add that a lot of men haven't read the book yet.
Mm.
It's been mostly women reading it so far.
Mm-hmm.
So I do encourage more men to read it. I encourage the women who are reading it to offer it to their husbands or boyfriends or brothers, cousins, because there's something in there for men too. And I think one thing where the genders can teach each other is that we can learn a lot by watching how the masculine does certain things, because they have a different way of doing things, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Men can learn from watching the way women do things. And one of the ways that men can learn about what one of the women's strengths are is we know how to tell power stories when we're coming from our wombs and from our inner knowing with all of the vulnerability present. Mm-hmm. And of course, a lot of that has been conditioned out of men to tell stories from an emotional or vulnerable place. So that is a place where men generally have to work harder, because there's no place in our culture for them to be in that part of their naturalness. So oftentimes it's suppressed or ignored or medicated, all of those things. So this book has the potential to help people start to chip away at those armorings that they've put over their heart.
Yeah.
So they can really share the things that have happened to them and how they came out of those things with more strength and more more power, more life force in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what I hope men can start getting out of it. And I hope that the women out there can hold them through it.
Yeah.
In a good way, instead of shaming them for it, which is sometimes, unfortunately, what happens when men tell their stories.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's definitely a teaching kind of book in that, again, well, I think the book, along with speaking with you and maybe listening to this interview, both men and women can learn how to hold that space for others, regardless of gender. This is a human thing versus anything. And I find that, again, the book has its own life force to it, right? It's brought together by all these people, and yet it stands alone, and you can feel something. I can feel something anyways when I'm with the book. It's not individuals. It's a culmination of the whole, I guess. So we're coming to the end of our interview, and it's so hard to end interviews like this because there's so many more questions. And what I would ask is, what would you like to leave people with around power stories, around what would be your parting message for our listeners?
You want to go first, Carol?
Sure. I think the biggest thing that comes from this whole thing is to learn to have compassion for yourself.
Mm.
And to really listen to that inner wisdom. I know it's helped me personally with more compassion for myself. Mm. Because after reading the stories, it's like, you know, you don't have to be so tough on yourself. You know, there's a few war wounds, and that's okay. You pick yourself up and you dust yourself off, and then you just keep going. But, you know, it's like once you have some life experience, you know you can get through those things.
Mm.
And it's like, I know every single time that I'm going to have a challenge, I'm going to learn something. There's a giveaway and there's a gift that I get, which is amazing. So it's really helped me to forge through and go with the things that are important in my life, not to be afraid.
Mm.
Yeah. That's what I have to say.
Yeah, and I would add on to that that sometimes we can think that there is no power. You know, I had this discussion with someone the other day saying, and he was saying to me, I have no power.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's absolutely not true. Maybe you've chosen to give your power away to someone and to allow somebody to dictate how you live your life. But that is a different thing than not having any power. Every single person that's born has personal power. And that's not a power over other people. It's a power to command your inner world and to come and to restore balance in your inner world.
Mm.
So one of the ways that people can start restoring balance is to learn how to tell these power stories, to learn how to start pulling the victories out of every single thing that happens to them, even if it's the shittiest thing that's ever happened or you've had a crappy day. Your day was probably 99% crappy, but you can pull a 1% victory out of it.
Mm.
And we've all had those days that we just are like, want to go to bed and start over the next day, you know, because it's been so horrible. So I think just that practice of starting to pull out a victory every day, something in every day that you did well or that you managed to have balance in is something that everyone can do. And it doesn't matter who you are or what your life circumstances are, that practice in and of itself will start to change the trajectory of your life.
Mm.
And you just have to try it. And
yeah.
You know, if you don't find it works, then okay, fine, I can be wrong. But but give it a go. Experiment.
Something that just comes really quickly at on the heels of that is as a person listening and holding space, that's also a practice. When someone is being that vulnerable or having the courage to speak something, I also have to take responsibility in in holding that space and being able to hold that space instead of going into my head or judging them. Or, I mean, we talked about that earlier, but I just hearing you say that on the one side, we have the person speaking the story and then on the other, we have the listener. And I know that I've given some advice to other people where they said, well, I tried that and they didn't hear me. And I want to say, find somebody that you can trust. Find somebody that you know in your heart will just sit and have compassion for you or encourage you to keep telling the story from a powerful place or to pull that light. Because I think that is sometimes part of the hesitation in telling a story too, is the person sitting across from me or on the other end of the phone is just going to give me advice or they're just going to do something else. And so learning to hold space too, it sounds like, has been an incredible piece to this whole thing.
Yeah, and you can find those places too. Mm. They are out there in your community. If you don't have friends and family members that know how to do that, and some people don't, then go out into your community and find groups that know how to hold that space. And keep looking till you find them. You know, Brené Brown in her book, Daring Greatly, she talks a lot about that. She's like, when you're learning to be vulnerable, do not open up and tell any Tom, Dick, and Harry everything. You have to be really selective, because it's in being selective with the people that you share with that your heart can start to open more and more. Our hearts can't open if we're barely finished our story or we start telling our story and someone else starts interrupting us right away. That causes a shutdown process. So even if the person's struggling for words, or they're struggling to put their story into a cohesive language, you have to be able to hold space for that. And some people can't put it into a cohesive language right away.
Mm-hmm.
So in sisterhood, we have a sisterhood leader who's phenomenal at holding space, and that's her job. It's not our job, although we do follow her lead. But she's the one that sets the tone for the entire meeting, and she's responsible for making sure that every woman in the space feels safe and feels like they can bring their true selves to the space. So there's an element of that. And so the woman holds a talking stick for as long as she needs to. And our job is to just hang in there with her as she tells her story. So a talking stick can be used too, but it might take a little bit of searching for some people. And maybe that person will be a psychologist. I don't know. You know, for some people it might be. And that's totally cool.
Yeah.
Someone who's been trained to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to find that trusting person. So important.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you both so much. That was good. So you can find Jen and Carell at womenspowerstories.ca. You can find their book. Also for Jen, this is your second book, right? And your first book, I also have The Miracle.
The Magic Circle.
It's got some really amazing ceremonies in it. It is not just for children. I can tell you that it is for the child within as well. So please look up that one and A Spiral Dance Harmonics for Jen. And Carell, you are Key Lifestyle
Solutions. Yeah, Key Lifestyle Solutions. Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh, you guys, thank you so much for spending time with me today.
Thank you. Yeah.
And thanks, Marielle.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you both. Yeah. Congratulations on this amazing launch of this book. I will be sharing it with everybody. And I hope everyone that is listening, just check it out, go to their website, feel the energy of the book and get it. It's definitely worth it. Gift it to the women and the men in your lives. It will have some impact. I can probably guarantee that. Thank you, everybody, for joining me on Page Radio. I'm Marielle Smith, in light and in service. Until next time, have a really great day.